Now streaming, the Netflix and Swill podcast.
Shalom, my homies. Welcome to the Netflix and Swill podcast, your source for Netflix news, reviews, and booze. I am Dan, and no Caleb this week. His power is out, and has been out for the past couple days. So this is a very rushed, very last moment recording that's happening right now. But still, I want to thank you all for listening. And with that being said, Anime April is getting pushed back to actually April. For those of you wondering why, Dan... Why was Netflix and Swill going to start Anime April in March? Mainly, it's because I forgot how many days were in March and when March was. I was just excited to watch anime and do anime things. So that being said, there's going to be no review of Junji Ito's Maniac, Japanese Tales of the Macabre. No review of Drifting Home. We're going to wait till actually it's time for... Anime April to review those things. And when Caleb's back, because I'm assuming he won't be without power for an entire week. If he is without power for an entire week, that's an energy crisis in his town. And that should be something reported on national news. So we'll see. I'm not drinking any alcohol tonight, so we're just going to skip What You're Swill entirely and move right into the news.
Oh, shit, it's mail time.
All right, and there's a story about Taylor Tomlinson that I want Caleb to talk about because that's what he cares about. I care about this next thing. Netflix and Disney have signed a deal that will keep Arrested Development on Netflix for the next 3 years, including later this year making it an exclusive to Netflix. In case you were unaware, in some countries, especially in the United States, which is mainly where we're focused on our coverage, Arrested Development was on both Netflix and on Hulu. Of course, Hulu only having seasons 1 through 3, Netflix having seasons 1 through 5. Well, now, Netflix and Disney have reached a deal where it will, as of October this year, only stream on Netflix and will remain on Netflix for the next 3-ish years, and we'll see where we go from that point. And that illustrates a very... interesting shift in how the streaming wars are going. Because, as everyone's aware, there's too many goddamn streaming services anymore. Disney, Netflix, Disney Plus, really. Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Apple Plus, Amazon Prime, Paramount Plus, Showtime, although that's getting merged into Paramount Plus, Peacock. There's just too many streaming services. And we're still early enough in the proliferation of streaming services and every company wanting their own piece of the pie instead of, you know, taking the Sony approach of murking out their content to the highest bidder, that not all of these streaming services are going to survive. And I keep seeing online from people, oh, Netflix is the worst one. Netflix is the worst one. Netflix is going to be the one that dies. Netflix has a safety cushion of being the largest now. That depends on how you want to define largest, because Amazon Prime exists and Prime Video is wrapped up into the Amazon Prime service. And there's no breakout of how many users actually use Amazon Prime every month. I'm sorry, who use Prime Video separate from Amazon Prime every month. So I still call Netflix the biggest. I know people will say, oh, well, Disney Plus plus Hulu plus ESPN Plus is more than has more customers than Netflix. That's not true. Even in the first place, I don't think that's true. And that's only because if you subscribe to all three, you count it three times. If you subscribe to two of those, you count twice. I don't believe those numbers are accurate representations of the total amount of customers that Disney has. That all being said, Netflix... has the biggest safety cushion of them all because they have the most amount of subscribers. So, you know, we're going to see streaming services start to slowly die off. Peacock is probably going to be the first one. I don't know what they offer other than, you know, currently Vanderpump Rules drama, which everyone loves. We all need this Vanderpump Rules drama. So I say all that to say, you're probably going to see more deals that look like what Netflix and Disney are doing with Arrested Development right now. One of the things that What's on Netflix ran, Casey Moore ran earlier this year, was, or late last year, was an article going over when content licenses expire from Netflix for current originals. So, you know, like your Arrested Developments, You, which is a Warner Brothers Discovery production show. Lucifer, same bucket. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, NBC Universal. So you're going to see all these shows that have these licenses expiring. Well, now, if we're seeing Disney even take a step back and say, is exclusive content the way to go for us in the future? Well, they're probably the second most popular streaming service on planet Earth after Netflix. And if that company is looking at their streaming service being like, I don't know if original content gives us enough value proposition and we have to continue to license our content to our biggest competitor, what does that mean for Peacock, for Paramount, for like anywhere else that licenses out content? That doesn't mean good things for them. That doesn't mean good health for the business in its current form. So, again, I expect more deals like this as companies continue to find out that the revenue streams through streaming services are not the best way to continue their companies or to like bring their companies into the 21st century. I think instead what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot more Sonys, and there's going to be about 4 or 5 major streaming services: Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, HBO, Netflix, and I don't know from there. Those are the big 4 that I can see sticking around. But yeah, this is just a long-winded rant of me saying things are getting interesting again, because everyone having their own streaming service, that's not very interesting. Everything being siloed off, that's not very interesting. Everything expanding back out and content being all over the place again, that's a much more interesting game for streaming than what we're currently experiencing right now. And then it moves into downstream. We're going to talk about some trailers for some Netflix content.
Baby, I can't control the internet.
That's my favorite line!
The big thing that came out this week is the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always 30th Anniversary Reunion Special. I don't want to talk about that too much here. We're probably going to talk about that next week as well. The main thing I want to talk about isn't really even the trailer. It's just like the discourse around it, because there are many people who went online and said, boy, that looks like shit. I can't believe Netflix financed this. Like, somebody even said, oh, Netflix is like broke. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Have you watched a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episode recently? Have you watched any Power Rangers episode recently? The production value on those are always corny. It always looks cheesy. It's always super campy. I don't understand why people expect Oscar award-winning movie fare whenever a Power Rangers thing comes up. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I say that I was a fan of the reboot Power Rangers that came out five and a half, six. When did that come out? Whenever that came out, I was a fan of that one because it was its own version of like higher budget camp. This is like, hey, we spent like $1,000. Here's our campy garbage show. I hope you guys enjoy it. And I'm all for that. I don't want to talk more about the trailer from there, but people, please check your expectations. Go watch an old Power Rangers episode and absorb the feel of that, because that is exactly the feel they put into at least the trailer. Who knows what the feel will be for the full thing, or if it's a movie, a special. I don't fucking know what this thing is. They don't do a very good job of telling me. And the final trailer that I want to talk about is O Belinda. This is a series, movie, Again, Netflix, you gotta promote this stuff better so I know what the hell I'm watching. Dallara's life turns upside down when the shampoo commercial she begrudgingly accepted to star in becomes real, and she finds herself stuck in her character's life. Oh, Belinda, only on Netflix, April 7th. Yeah, it's exactly what the logline says. This woman takes a part in a commercial, and then her life becomes the commercial. This is a, I want to say, Spanish language show or movie or something. Whatever it is, I think it looks interesting. It's an interesting concept, and it's basically just like, unfortunately, gaslighting a woman into something. I don't know if this is going to be like David Fincher's The Game, where, of course, we find, you know, if you know the game, you know the game. Or if it's going to be like, oh, no, this is actually her new paradigm where she has to, she is now Belinda for the rest of her life. Will I check it out? I think it depends. If this is a movie, probably. If this is not a movie, probably not. Ooh. I just found it on Netflix and it's a movie. Okay. Oh, it is Turkish. Okay, not Spanish. It's Turkish. Okay. I might watch this then, because, yeah. So yeah, Oh Belinda. Like I said, interesting concept. Probably check it out. All right, and that'll move us into quick hits, where I will talk about something that I watched this week that isn't any of the other things I've already talked about.
Fuck you, Cody, you fucking nerd!
So I decided to watch the first movie of the Riddick trilogy, Pitch Black. Now, this stars Vincenzo Diesel as Riddick, a guy with weird eyes that they don't really go into in the movie. He just has eyes that he got so he can see in the dark, and he always has to wear sunglasses. And it's not because they don't want to do the effect on his eyes. It's because he can't see because he has night vision eyes, and it's a movie. So the best comparison I have to my reaction to this movie is whenever my good friend Nick watched Event Horizon for the first time and was just very upset. And I think it's because it didn't catch him at the right time. And that's exactly how I feel about this movie. This movie did not catch me at the right time. I feel like if I was younger, I would probably appreciate this movie to a degree. My main issue with it is that nothing fucking happens. Like, we start with a cosmic storm that puts holes in the hull of a ship that doesn't cause a break in the pressurization of the ship, but still kills a captain. And I know this is all science fiction, but still. And they crash land on this planet, and then they spend like 45 minutes setting up everything for the, like, these creatures to come out at night and murder people. And like, that'd be cool if it wasn't just a fucking mess. Like, 45 minutes to set up, to get the setup to creatures murdering people is not a good recipe for a movie. Now, again, I compare it to Event Horizon, where Event Horizon had a similar lead up time, but it still built like an atmosphere of like, there's something seriously wrong that's going on here. This movie, you can tell something's going to go wrong, but it doesn't. It's only built through the complete unknown. Like, there's nothing weird or out of the ordinary. It's just they crash land on a planet. The planet is livable, and now they have to make it back before dark because the creatures will come out, and they're allergic to light, and they'll die if they get hit by light. It doesn't do anything. The entire, like, Vincenzo Diesel is not a good lead actor. I say this as a Fast and Furious fan. I don't go to see his acting. I go to see fast cars and ridiculous things happen. This movie doesn't have fast cards or ridiculous things. All it has is just things. Like, the things happen eventually, and that and there's big breaks in between when the things happen, and it just, it's just boring. It's just a boring movie. And I was gonna watch the whole trilogy because I thought, you know what? They're all on Netflix. They're relatively popular. People are freaking out about them being relatively popular. Why is this movie in the, like, why is this the most watched movie in the US right now? And it's like, man, because it's fucking new. And they're like, movies people kind of recognize, but not really. Like, you know, you've probably heard of the Riddick movies, and you've probably never seen them. So you probably have like this passing interest in watching them. And because you can just waste your time on Netflix because it's basically FX where fucking random movies come on and then like there'll be good content every now and then, you'll waste like 2 hours watching a Riddick movie. And I'm like, oh, it was fucking bad. Oh, let's watch the next one. I got nothing better to do today. That's why they're popular, because people don't care. There's no want or desire for there to be like anything of substance sometimes. People just like watching things to have something on in the background. Like, there, it's probably a great laundry folding movie to where you're, you know, you got your basket and you're looking down at your clothes, and then you look up at the screen and something's happened. You're like, ah, cool. I'll watch this as I fold my shirt. And then, you know, your next load of laundry is ready. So, you know, you go into the other room, you grab all your articles of clothing that are going to go in that laundry, you in that laundry load, you put that load in into the washing machine, you come back because nothing's fucking happened, and now something's happening again. It, like, that's the kind of movies that at least Pitch Black is. I don't know about the rest of them. I'm still scared to even try to start them because I just really did not enjoy Pitch Black at all. But that's why these movies are popular. Background noise. They're great background noise. Shout out to Bad Boys 1 and 2. And that's the show. Thank you for listening to the Netflix and Swill podcast. Very abbreviated again due to Caleb living in Texas, apparently, where a strong wind just completely destroys the power grid for an entire day. Again, next week on the show, we will be discussing Junji Ito's Maniac, Japanese Tales of the Macabre. And then on the back of that, we'll be also reviewing the Studio Colorido movie Drifting Home, which is a bit like Studio Ghibli, but not exactly. We'll talk about it. You can find the show at NetflixandSwill.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Netflix and Swill and Friends. Check out Two Peas on a Podcast. Check out Netflix and Swill. Contribute to both Patreons. We're both great podcasts. Thank you to Space Weather for the use of our theme song, Bitter, which is how Caleb feels about not being on this episode. And with that, it's time to get out of here. Thank you for listening again, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Netflix and Swill is an independent podcast. As such, we believe in the scrappy underdogs of the podcast world. If you're an indie podcast and would like us to run your promo on our show, please contact us. The little guys need to stick together. If you enjoy what we're doing, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and telling a friend. The more we grow, the better the show will be. Thank you for being part of the Netflix and Swill family.